The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle have been killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out therefore into the main roads and invite into the feast whomever you find.' The servant went out into the streets and gathered all who they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man not dressed in a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his tenants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you are saying, "What in the world did this gospel mean this morning?" The king prepares a wedding feast for his son. The guests don't show up. Some go back to their work. Some even kill the servants. Then the king goes out and burns their city, invites everybody to come to the feast. One fellow hasn't got a wedding garment, so he throws them outside. What is all that about? And what does it mean to us on this Sunday morning, where some of you probably don't even care about what it means? But I'm going to try to explain it all to you, because that's why I get the big bucks. First of all, as we examine this story, it's clear that this is an allegory, not a true story. That means that the wedding feast becomes a symbol for something else. In fact, Matthew is giving us a lesson in this story, a lesson in salvation history. For instance, this is about a king who invited other wealthy friends of his to his son's wedding feast. You notice one had a farm, another had a business. In those days, kings didn't mix with common folks. Matthew intends this invitation to be a reference to the way that God invited first the Jewish people only, through the Jewish prophets. Then the second thing to notice is that it was normal in wedding feasts like this to send two invitations, one to let them know about the wedding feast, and the later one, it may be a few days before the feast, to find out who is actually coming or whether they will actually come. Now this is, again, Matthew's reference to the Jewish people who were called by the prophets to accept God's first invitation. Then in the gospel, the king sends servants out with the second invitation to see who's coming before the actual wedding. But they snubbed the king and refused to come. Worse yet, when he sent out the servants, they mistreated them and killed some, which of course, he had this big fat wedding prepared for them. They not only ignored him, but exalted him by going about their business, or even, strange to say, killed some of his servants. Matthew intends this second invitation to refer to the way that Jesus invited the Jewish people to respond to his invitation to come to the wedding feast, but he was rejected, as well as were some of the Christian missionaries in Matthew's time. and as well as martyred or killed. So the king gets furious and sends his servants out to kill those people and burn their city. Here's where it's most clear that this is an allegory. I mean, the king wouldn't leave all this meal he's prepared to get cold while he goes and wages a war. So there's an indication that Jesus, in the original parable, was talking about the way that the Jews were refusing his invitation to come to the wedding feast, were rejected him. But it's also an indication that Matthew's community, retelling the story maybe two generations after the death and resurrection of Jesus, is adding their own part about the burning of the city, because that's a clear reference to the actual destruction of Jerusalem as a punishment in Matthew's mind for the Jews not responding to Jesus' invitation. Then the parable changes tone. When the king comes home from the war, he invites everybody to the feast, the good and the bad alike. Now, that's a switch for a king to do. But it's an invitation in Matthew's time to open the wedding feast to both the Jews and the Gentiles, the good and the bad, by this generous king. So the wedding feast is full of freeloaders. It's a picture of Matthew's church at his time. Then the parable turns sour again, because when the king goes in, he finds this fellow who's caught without a wedding garment. Now, here's where Matthew's theology trumps his storytelling. In reality, you couldn't expect a guy coming off the streets to come into a wedding feast with a tuxedo. Matthew is here referring to the Last Judgment, where his community thought would happen any day. And unlike Woody Allen, who said half of life is just showing up is not enough for this wedding banquet. What is needed is the other half, and that is the wedding garment, the conversion, the change of heart represented by that wedding garment. We'll be judged on whether we have really changed our hearts responding to God's invitation. Well, all that might make the parable a little more intelligible, but maybe it doesn't say much about what does this mean for you and me today as we gather here for this Eucharist? Well, the key words are, we gather here for this Eucharist. Did you notice in the first reading how often eating and drinking are on the menu of today's scriptures? The first reading, Isaiah promised, on this mountain the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy, rich food and pure, choice wines. Should make your mouth water. In our responsory, we sang, you spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. My cup overflows. So maybe we could just take a moment this morning to remind ourselves of who we are and why we are here, what we are doing. We common folks have been invited to the wedding, a special wedding feast. We've been given a wedding garment at baptism, and we will hear at communion time, blessed are those called to the supper or the wedding feast of the Lamb. Maybe we need to remind ourselves this morning how fortunate we really are. We're going to be invited to encounter and receive the one person who is the focus of our faith, Jesus the Christ, our King, the special relationship that we have with this person. And we will be offered the richest food and drink that we could imagine. Sometimes, though, when that person is offered to us in communion, when we say the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, we say amen, perhaps without realizing what amen really means. It means, yes, I believe it, I want it with all my heart. Maybe today, then, it can be a little different. Maybe today we'll hear the invitation again. And maybe today we'll remember again that there is no better wedding feast on earth for you and me than this Eucharist. This Eucharist is really the closest encounter that you and I can have with God. The closest encounter you and I can have with God. We're all invited, so get ready to come to the table.